You refer to your books as active histories. How did you arrive at that term, and what does it mean?
Well, Bill Forstchen and Steve Hanser and I would sit around and talk about history, and we'd realize that we're really excited by it, that when we discuss Washington crossing the Delaware or Churchill making a major decision in the 1930s, we see it as alive. We see it as vivid, as drama. And yet we know that for so many people, history is passive. They see it as dead, as facts to be memorized, to get through a test, to get out of the class. And we began to talk about what was it that we were approaching so differently. And we realized it's because we saw history as active. We always were looking forward. We were with Robert E. Lee at Gettysburg trying to figure out what to do, not memorizing what he actually did. We were with General Eisenhower just before Normandy looking forward, thinking about the moral decision to launch all those young men at the North Wall and to try to land at Normandy. And so as we began talking about it, we said, you know, if we could write active histories, and we defined it in a very particular way, everything has to be real. It has to be a choice that could have been made, a technology that already existed. It had to be a decision that fit the parameters of reality in that period. But within that framework, there are always many paths that could have been taken, not just the one that was taken. And so we want people to engage their brains and to think actively about what might have happened in history, not just to passively memorize what did happen.
Your books have also been described as alternative histories. What is the difference between active history and alternative history?
Well, Bill Forstchen deserves the real credit for this distinction because Bill, who's written a number of very, very successful science fiction novels, and has really looked at the genre from both the standpoint of a historian and the standpoint of a writer, he felt strongly that alternative history had come to mean sort of a science fiction approach. What if you gave the Japanese F-15 fighter planes, or what if Martians came down in the middle of a battle, or some other, you know, radical breakthrough that wasn't real? What if there were a nuclear submarine developed in 1940? Yet those things aren't possible. None of those things could have happened within the real world. And so we wanted to draw a distinction between alternative histories, which can use all sorts of ideas that may or may not be relevant. And some of them, by the way, I've enjoyed immensely over time. Edgar Rice Burroughs, who wrote Tarzan, also would write alternative histories about Roman legions in the middle of Africa. Interesting, fascinating, fun stories, just had no relationship to reality. We wanted to pick a fairly narrow range of choices and show you that within the real world, in the technology that was available, given the resources they had, on the doctrine they believed in, there were still three, four, or five different things they could have done different than what they actually did do, and that would have led to a different history rather than the one we're used to. So we draw a sharp distinction between alternative history and active history.
What do we learn by exploring history with a what-if perspective?
Well, remember that in your own life, you're always making decisions that are what-ifs. You don't know how they're going to work out. You're going to do the best you can. You're going to think something through, and you're going to decide, do I buy this house or not buy this house? Do I take this job or not take this job? Do we go on this vacation or not go on this vacation? I mean, all these are decisions. They're decisions about the future. And so understanding the past, thinking about the past, and then asking yourself, the last time I made that decision, how did it work? My basic rule of thumb is that imitation is cheaper than invention, and that you can learn from others cheaper than you can experiment yourself. And so I spent my whole life since I was very young trying to understand the world by studying those who've already lived in it. And I found it very helpful to understand how others have done things. And I always recommend to young people that they just immerse themselves in biographies and really learn how other people live their lives, because you only get to live a life once, but you can study thousands of lives if you want to, and you can learn an immense amount about how other people have been successful and what other people did when they had difficulties.